Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hey, you guys got your girl Cicely on A Woman's Perfect World. You guys know what today is. Yes, today is being Black in America. I just want to say hi to everybody that is tuning in. We're going to go through a few announcements before we get started. So as you guys know, this is a branch off of Blacktopia. Blacktopia is a social club for women, women of color especially. Blacktopia, we specialize in networking, educating, and uniting women of color. So if you feel like you need any of those three, that you need help with networking, that you want to unite with women of color, or you just want to be educated with and by women of color, give us a call. Our phone number is area code 559-293-6645. We can't wait to hear from you. All right. So have you guys been seeing the news lately? Oh my gosh. This Trump is getting caught up in so many things. Oh my gosh, ladies. It's like watching this. It's like watching a reality show, watching Trump and all of his little coons get caught up in whatever they had to say or whatever. It's just funny. It's hilarious. I tell you, politics are something hilarious. Well, moving on. Let's get to the topic of today. I'm getting ready to cue in my Facebook Liver. So for those that are live with me, we're going to be joined by some Facebook Live people. So I love that. I love that. What I wanted to do today is I wanted to continue talking about the reality of the crack era and its aftermath. People think that the crack era is over, or just because crack is not a drug that is a drug of choice right now, it doesn't have as much popularity right now. A lot of people think that that era is over. That era is not actually over, everyone. That era is happening right now. The only difference with that era is that that era has transformed into the meth era. That era has transformed into the pharmaceutical era. But we're still dealing with the same issues and we're still dealing with the same problems. And I believe that we need to get to the core of the problem to find out what we can do to make it better. I know a lot of people were affected from that crack era. But a lot of people have gone without help, without diagnosis. We have crack babies out here that's raising babies now that's never got the help that they needed. I mean, the crack era swept our neighborhoods. I mean, it swept them and it destroyed them. I mean, from property value to property being sold off, us losing our women, us losing our men. I mean, babies coming, having crack babies. It just really, really was detrimental. I mean, it was really bad for our people. And so I really want to go deep into depths about it. I want you guys to really think back. Like, let's think about the crack era. How does that crack era affect you? I know I've seen aunties and uncles do some crazy things on this crack. I watched women give up their babies and children and chose crack over their responsibilities. I mean, having babies back to back, back to back, back to back, back to back. Grandmothers inheriting these babies because they didn't want these babies to go to the system but didn't know how to properly take care of these babies. Oh my goodness, I can go on and on. And so I really do think that we really need to get into the heart of it. We need to get to the meat of this issue so that way we can start preparing and building back our communities. I do have someone on hold right now, so I'm going to take a caller. So just bear with me, you guys. You have Cicely on A Woman's World. How you doing out there?
Hi.
Hello.
Yes. Yes. Hello?
I can hear you. Yes, I can hear you.
Yes. My name is Al. I'm calling in on what has been being black in America. You know, it's been horrible since slavery, Jim Crow, the crack era, heroin era. It always plagued our community. And the main thing I wanted to say about this is that a lot of these crack babies are up in age now. And they were affected when they was in their mother's belly. And now a lot of our young men that's 35, 20, and 40, they really have mental and physical issues that haven't been medically looked into. And I really do believe that it's blown over into this meth area and all that. I just think that it needs to be some medical attention brought to a lot of our young people, babies that was in their mother belly and they out here now. And they're not functioning properly.
Yeah, you're right. We do have a lot of children that were born during that crack era and never got diagnosed, never got proper treatment. I can go on and on. And yet these children are now parents. And because the problem has never been resolved with them, that problem goes on to the next. So I do completely understand where you're coming from, you know, and I do think that we need to seek treatment, that we need to start doing something to really help them, like to really, really, really get to the heart of the problem and really help them. And like I was saying earlier, a lot of people believe like the crack era is gone. The crack era is over with, but the crack era is not gone. The crack era is this meth era. The crack era is this pharmaceutical era. It just keeps transforming and keep transforming. But why are so many of our people falling victims to these drugs is a question that we need to answer as well.
Well, that is the million-dollar question. You know, it's like it always, even back in the earlier 50s and 60s, the heroin, and here we are today. It's still, why is it? Is it targeting us? Now, being black in America has been a hard road for us in our community. And I really do think for your listeners out there, that is mothers of kids, come on. If the man is not right on that stuff, don't let your kids grow up sin. Don't let them be it. When I was coming and seeing it, I seen where women allow their babies and little kids be in a smoke room full of crack smoke and they breathing.
Yeah.
And it really, like you said, this meth thing, they smoking meth. and they let their kids run around in these smoke-filled rooms and breathing it while they're doing it. For the listeners out there, your women listeners, you are our mothers. Please, let's save the children. That's where it's going to start at. That's what have to change at.
You're absolutely right. We do have to educate our children. We must educate them on these drugs. You know, yesterday I had brought up a scientist by the name of Carl. He was stating that maybe we should decriminalize these drugs and start focusing more on education and educating them. So, yeah, I think you're right. And I really appreciate you tuning in with us on A Woman's Perfect World, Being Black in America. And I do appreciate your comment, and hopefully we can hear from you next week. But know that your comments were very appreciated. And I just appreciate you listening and being a caller. And hopefully I'll talk to you next week.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
No problem. You have a great one. All right, you guys. So now we have Cola. We have Cola, Clemmy, and Gershonda who joined our Facebook Live, and I just want to welcome them to our conversation and thank them for even joining in. Cola did leave a message on our Facebook Live, and she stated that childhood trauma is the issue. We need to deal with it because it is dealing with us. Yes. Let's talk about that. Childhood trauma. Things that children endure and children go through, like what makes their minds acceptable to going to get that drug? What are they trying to cover? What are they trying to cope with? So I think that Cola hit a very valid point. Childhood trauma. I mean, these children are being raised in these households, and sometimes these children are dealing with things that they shouldn't be dealing with as a child. And yet we expect for them to grow up and be productive in society, and that's the wrong outlook to have on that. The problem needs to be dealt with. We had a show about 2 weeks ago, and that show covered things that African-American people push under the rug. And it was plenty of things that came up, but one of the main things that came up was drug use and molestation. So if these things are happening to these children are in homes with constant drug abuse and their parents is running out and doing things, or there's physical abuse in the home, or there's molestation in the home, whatever the case may be, and these children have to cope with it, when they become adults or when they become old enough to make that decision to go ahead and branch off and to go find a coping mechanism of their own, we can only expect for them to go that direction. So I really appreciate Cola for leaving that comment, because we don't pay attention to the reason why. A lot of times we only want to pay attention to the problem, not why the problem arrived, you know? And so I think that's very important. If you guys are out there and you guys have anything that you guys would like to say, I would love to hear from you guys live. Area code 515-602-9655. I would really love to hear from you and what you got to say. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go into a song right now on my podcast, and I'm going to take a break for just a second and I'll be back. I just need to collect my thoughts and gather them, you guys. I am going to play a song from that era. Hopefully it gives us like happy vibes talking about something like this. All right, you guys.
Just
All right, you guys, I'm back on live on A Woman's Perfect World, being Black in America. So I do have a caller on hold, so I'm going to take that call. Let's see. Hi, yes, you have Cicely from A Woman's Perfect World. Who am I speaking to today?
Yes, hey, this is Pecola. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Cola?
All right.
That's good. So what could you share with us about the crack epidemic, that era, and the aftermath?
Well, what I can share about the crack epidemic is we need to start dealing with our emotions, you know. Our emotions has ran us rapid, and we take emotions, I guess I could say we take our emotions and we suppress instead of facing them.
Okay, yeah, I can understand that. Can you elaborate a little more?
Meaning, we look at the negative more so than the positive, especially being women. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do understand exactly what you mean. Matter of fact, my spouse tell me that quite often.
And so we tend to allow that to overtake us, and then we allow us, even as women, to live so much in the past or that experience instead of taking that experience and learning, because that's all we're here for, is to learn from our experience or to enjoy that experience, learn from it and keep moving, but we stay stuck in it. And we want to, I guess, how we can say, take that negative energy, and then it'll turn around and is used against us. You know what I mean?
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. I do. So, what do you think that I know that you said that we need to get control of our emotions. What can we do to get control of our emotions?
To keep it real, we need to seek help. You know, seek the proper help, know thyself, and you know, and get to know who we are, you know, and instead of just saying, this is the only way I can make money, this is the only thing I can use to deal. And I'm not even talking about the drugs on the street. We can talk about this mental health drugs, too, they got out here, because that's the new dope, man, for real.
Well, yeah, when we talk about the drugs today, we're dealing with a lot of pharmaceutical drugs today, aren't we?
Yes, we are. We are definitely dealing with that, but we have to understand and overstand that we have the power. We just have to tap into it, whether it's painful or not. But we have to stay on a higher conscious level to even deal with past relationships, and they all relationships, or all the hurt and pain that we dealt with. We have to start looking at it more so on a higher level than that lower level, you know, or stop believing in what you should do to this man and how you should deal with this person. And, you know, stop. We especially being molested, we have to take on that shit wasn't on me. That was on that other person. Even though, yes, it hurt and, yes, it damaged, but we have to kind of, and everybody say it's a cold thing, but we have to start detaching from these emotions.
No, I can totally agree with you. You know, when you think about emotion and you think about the things that happened to us in the past, I always say we can handle it in two ways. We can either learn from that experience and move on and grow from it, or we can stay in those feelings and we can grow in those feelings. And once we grow in those feelings, we can grow negative energy. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I do understand what you mean when you say we have to let go of those feelings and or learn how to control them to the best outcome.
Because as we get older, then we tend to stick to some of those things that due to lack of communication. So if
say if my mother called me fast all the time, and she didn't break that word down to me, and I'm thinking fast is what, nasty? What, I'm a hoe? Or I'm ugly? I mean, what is it? But every time when she said that, that emotion I felt was inadequacy. And every time as an adult, until I had to get with that, every time I felt inadequate, then I tend to act out on it. It brings on anger, it brings on sadness. You understand what I'm saying? Because me too, as a person, got caught up in the drug life, you know, and that was due to being molested, you know. But I had to deal with that. I truly had to deal with that.
So you're saying that, I'm just going to use your experience. You're saying with your experience, you used the drugs as a coping mechanism to deal with the emotions that you were having?
Yes. And that was really on a low vibration. I was really operating as in a very low vibration. You know what I mean? That was my only coping. That's all I thought, because, see, I wasn't telling my brain that I got options. You understand? All my brain knew was this, okay, when I start feeling those feelings, I went straight on and knocked on the door and got what I needed to have, and everything was a party and everything was hey until it turned against me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is very informative. I mean, I've never, since I've been grown, I've never talked to anyone in regards to their experience with crack on this type of level. It's always mm-hmm. been like a fun and game thing, like, oh my God, they were crackheads or something like that. But mm-hmm. I've never talked to the full extent to find out why.
Mm-hmm.
Why? What brought mm-hmm. you to that? And to know that this is what people are using it for a coping mechanism is something like, you're right. We, in that case, we need to really deal with our emotion. So what do we do to deal with those emotions as a Black community, as a community as a whole? What can we do to help out our fellow brothers and sisters that are coping, that does have coping issues right now?
Well, and instead, you know, we really need to come together as a people, especially females, because we tend to go against each other more so than the brothers. And my thing is, when somebody come and talk to you, or you talk, it's depending on the degree of their mental state, you know, get some help or get into a support group, or even us come together as women and come on over so I can tell you that you a queen. You know, you don't need to do this to yourself, and find more positive structure to go to. Then some people, you have to let them hit their bottom. You understand? Because, you know, once a person is caught up in that, really is nothing you can do but, you know, allow a person to hit their bottom. But we can still clothe them, we can still feed them, we can still, you know, be there for a sister. You know what I mean? And let her know every day, you a queen. You a queen.
Okay, I feel you on that one. I do feel you on that one, and I do think we need to support one another, especially being women, African-American women, being that we get devalued the most in today's society. So I do think mm-hmm. that we need to stick together and support one another. So with these support groups and everything, I just wanted to point out something and make sure I don't forget this. But with the support groups, I've noticed that it's more support groups coming up. It's more programs coming up, because now the drug era is looked at as a disease versus a crime. Can I get your mm-hmm. your take on that?
Well, first of all, let's talk about crack versus opiates, okay? Mm-hmm. So, because it was all designed to destroy the Black community from the beginning, crack was. Because at that time, see, I'm a social worker, and I was, my field is substance abuse. And so when crack came out, and when Blacks was trying to get help for it, it wasn't so readily available. Now, when I work for an agency, now the opiates, especially in Ohio, because I'm from Ohio, the opiate epidemic came out. And now, I mean, they're making treatment ready available. They're making therapy ready available. The courts are signing money to get them housing. And one time I had a client that was on crack, and the only way you can get help for housing through the drug court was you had to either be on alcohol or you had to be on opiates. And so the brother broke down and told them, what you trying to say? I gotta be on heroin just to get some help. And that's what made me kind of push back and say, I'm done out of this. You know what I mean? Because it was so heartfelt to say everybody's equal. How can you say, what's the difference between you on opiates and me on crack? You know? So
exactly.
The thing is, because now it's the judge's daughter. It's the police officer's daughter now, or the police officer sister. So, see, they dying in numbers now. They ODing in numbers. So now it's hitting their family now, and now they say it's a disease. But when it was crack, it was just you just lazy and you got a problem, and you just, you know, if you can't help yourself, that's it. You know what I mean? But now, due to this opiate epidemic, now they're finding help. I mean, they're giving them as much help as possible because now it's in their neighborhood.
Okay. And that's exactly what I was thinking as well. That's exactly what I thought. But what I wanted to also ask you, too, is since I have you on the line, because I really value your opinion, I wanted to know, how do you feel about the mass incarceration and the gang situation and how our men were being turned out sexually in these prisons, and a lot of them was being incarcerated during the crack era? What's your opinion about that?
It's a plan by design. I mean, you have to really look at, if you really look at the stock market, they have a stock market called PIA, Prison Industry Association. And
uh-huh.
With the Prison Industry Association, they're getting free labor. So therefore, when they incarcerate blacks, I mean, that's the biggest percentage of people that's in prison. So it becomes just like the weed now. They selling weed now. They saying it's medical marijuana, but then you still got brothers incarcerated when they were that was selling weed, but now it's legalized. You see what I'm saying? So it's all it's
part
all
of that
by
systematic
design.
Oppression, huh?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because once you're in the legal system and once you get this, you get convicted, then I know you're not going to get a job. I'm not going to worry about you. You know, they're going to say, I'm not worried about you getting my job. You know, I ain't going to worry about you living in my neighborhood. See, now these brothers get released. They can't even get housing because of their background. They can't even get a job. So what do you want a brother to do? They're going to go right back and start selling again, because the crack epidemic was also gang affiliated too.
Yes, it was. I remember so many gangs. There was a lot of violence during that time as well. It became a turf war for a lot of our young brothers on whose area is this to sell on this corner. So I do remember that, and I'm glad that you elaborated on that, because that's exactly what's happening. All of this privatization of these prisons and everything is another thing that causes mass incarceration. A lot of people don't know about a corporation by the name of ALEC. It's an organization that that's built with a lot of corporations. They come together, all these different corporations, and they mix with politicians. Well, when they come together, the corporations make laws. They create laws that's geared towards benefiting their corporation, and these politicians bring them to the forefront to pass the bill. So we thus have the minimum maximum for a crime that you commit, maximum sentencing. We have that. That right there was a law created by ALEC. Why? To fill up those prisons, those private prisons. We also had
Bill Clinton also passed that criminal, that crime law. So once he did that, now they going after our children. Now they got a pipeline from the school to the juvenile, because we used to just get suspended and come back to school. Now they get in trouble. It was just on the news that this police officer arrested a 6-year-old and two six-year-olds at a elementary school put them in handcuffs and took them to the juvenile. So now it's getting to the point now they're targeting our kids, because also juvenile prisons or jails are privatized too now. So now you got these, which we call lobbyists. They are corporations. They're the lobbyists that's have been paying off judges that when they commit, or any kid that go to a court, they send them to their prison because they're getting kickback.
Yeah, you know, a lot of those corporations, I know Victoria's Secret, Walmart, mm-hmm. a lot of them had a lot mm-hmm. to do with the privatization of prisons and talking about the crime bill. That crime bill that Bill Clinton passed, that there was created by Alec.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was created by that corporation. Have you seen the documentary, The 13th?
Yes, I have. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that right there, I believe that's a good teaching tool for our young women and our young men, so they can see mm-hmm. that the rate of incarceration is just growing for them. Like, and once they are incarcerated, depending on their crime, most likely a felon, then they're basically X out of the world, out of the society. They can't do anything. They can't travel. They can't vote. They can't do
right.
anything.
Right. So therefore, their goals start going in the underground. They call it underground economics, meaning this money they're getting is illegal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But see, when they marginalize a group of people and keep them in certain conditions, it's only obvious, it's common sense that they're going to find a way, because it's like Darwin, what's his name, Darwin, I forgot, he's a philosopher, but it's Darwin's law of nature. Hey, survival of the fittest.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
It's a Maslow theory, meaning, you know, the first level, if I don't got food, water, shelter, air, then I'm done. That's the basic living. And if I can't provide myself with that, then I'm going to go out and do what I need to do. Even with a mom or a dad, I'm going to do what I need to do to feed my kids. I'm going to do what I need to do to feed me, you know?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I do understand, and that is so true. And so I wanted to also state that I think that we really need to start focusing on our communities. We really do. We tend to move out of our communities because, oh, they're impoverished and everything like that. But if we stay there and we build them up and we start branching off on our own and teaching our kids on our own the things that they need mm-hmm. to know, I do think that our communities will grow more healthier. What about you?
Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, I was thinking about, it's a friend of mine that has a agency, or he's trying to put something together called NEO. And really, we need to learn how to do economic development, because due to our, and I'm not trying to be funny, but we got churches on every corner, but we don't know nothing about finances. We know mm-hmm. nothing about the cryptocurrency now, because the dollar is going to be null and void soon. We know nothing about, once we get a business, and you have to understand the red line, and they have in the realtor, as far as you getting a business, due to the high crime rate that's in our community, we pay more money for insurance. So
yep.
therefore, that's hard. You understand? We have to get to. We have to. It's a documentary called 7 a.m. and it's with Umar Johnson, and he's talking about. And he's talking about how do we need to get up out of these schools, because all they're teaching us how to do is work for them.
Exactly.
Not work for ourselves. You know what I mean? Not coming out with a business ideation. Not coming out saying, okay, I can start this business, or we'll stay at the same job for 30 years instead of saying, well, let me take 10% of my check and put it up for me. You know what I'm saying? But I understand they're giving it to the church, and that's fine and well. But if you don't learn how to put 10% up for yourself and start building your economic, your, you know what I mean, and developing your economic so you can move on and so you can have goals and plans to develop a business, then, our state of we just need to come together and start learning more about economic development, how to put a business plan together, how to approach a 7-year, 5-year, 3-year plan, how to approach the banks, how to get our credit together, because they plan us with that, because we buy, we get into something, and then the tools that they use and to measure for us to move forward, we kind of like not really paying that attention. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. You know, you remind me so much of I was watching a summit by Killer Mike, and I love Killer Mike. I really I love the idea of economic wealth. You know, that's what's going to bring us to our freedom is economic wealth. And he made a comment. He said, "How can we complain? How can we talk bad about a certain issue when we're not putting forth the effort to make it better? We're not building." We're not building this wealth so that way we can start taking over our own communities. We're not doing none of that.
Because our community, if you go to each person's place, Sandy know how to do hair. So, okay, Sandy, let me invest in you because she know how to do hair. Miss Johnson know how to make hats. Or Miss Johnson's daughter watch the kids. Everybody can be built up within the community. It's just all about coming together and developing those skills that or those talents that each of us have. You know what I mean? Because we are some very we built this country. You understand? We weren't slaves. We was masonaries. We did it all. You know what I mean? So we need to develop that. You know, we really do, you know, and then get the drugs out of our community, you know, because it's killing us. It's killing us.
You know, I see these young kids drinking cough syrup now. I see taking pain pills as a drug now. And I believe that they are marginalized, like I was saying earlier, and they don't have the tools available. They don't know how to access the tools available to go further than being boxed up in their neighborhoods and just accepting what they have.
Right.
So I do think that we do need to focus on wealth. They do need to find a way to become economically stable, financially stable. So that way we can start building our communities. But right now we're in a state where we're talking, but we don't have the tools to change it.
And that's true, because we got to, first of all, we got to deal with the physical, mental, our spiritual development has to come first, because now, I mean, they making money clearly off of us. When I was a child, what was ADHD? You know, I don't understand that. And then they want to medicate. They want to medicate the kid. I mean, if you ever seen a kid take Ritalin, which I have, it also suppressed the spirit. You know what I mean? Or they want to say, well, something is wrong with me. You know, and there's nothing wrong. What's really happening is they're suppressing the creativity part of the spirit, of the soul, in our use. You know, we got every McDonald's. We got to stop McDonald's from coming in our neighborhood. We got to stop we had Arab stores. And I'm not trying to say nothing wrong with the Arabs, but it's low-grade meat, low-grade produce. I mean, my mama and them had a garden. We need to get back into that. You know, we really have to pay attention to what they feeding us. I mean, everybody eating Cheetos now. Cheeto chicken sandwich from from Kentucky Fried Chicken. I mean, who gonna eat a Cheeto chicken sandwich? I mean, am I gonna feed my kids that? No.
You know, and that's another thing that Killer Mike was discussing. He was like, we're dependent for just about everything, but yet we want change. We can't change if we're depending on the people that are putting us in this position, if we're waiting for them to assist us in change.
Right.
Because it's like the oppressor. The oppressor is not gonna help the oppressed from getting oppressed.
Right. Come on.
And that's the situation that we're in. We can't expect for them to help us when they designed this system against us. So what we need to do is learn how to help ourselves. And I was just in the grocery market the other day, and I was looking at the meats in the grocery market. Oh, my goodness. And I was just like, how do we know what we're eating? How do we know that this is what they say it is? We take their word for it that, hey, this is a steak. This is a beef cow steak right here. And we take their words for it like it's no tomorrow. Okay, yeah. And we purchase it and pay high prices for it too. But in actuality, we don't know what we're eating. Our fruits and vegetables are genetically modified, you know? And we're going to them and we're purchasing them. And then we're wondering, why are we getting cancer? Why are we getting all these different diseases and everything like that? Because we haven't even learned how to grow our own food. We depend on them for something so important as food. And so how can we make change depending on them for something so basic, but so much needed?
And so now it's time to go in the hood and start purchasing that land, start purchasing that property. And I even tell, I even tell dope boys, you know, okay, you didn't rob the community. Now you have to put back, you have to put something back in the community that you robbed. Start buying some of this property. Start, you know, because your mama was on crack, your daddy was on crack, but you need to start reinvesting back into your community. Quit trying to move out. And allow these other developments, because that regentrification is everywhere. They are moving us out of our neighborhoods, rebuilding them to where you can't even afford an apartment there.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I was talking about this earlier to a friend of mine. I was speaking about the crack epidemic, but how the parents of the baby boomers, the parents of the baby boomer generation, they had finally made it out of the civil rights era, and they were able to purchase property and have ownership of things. Then they dropped that crack in our communities and start selling off our properties, letting our properties get a downfall in our properties, you know, and all kinds of things. And we lost this. We lost it, and then they came through. When we were losing it, they were also happy to purchase it on a foreclosure. You understand? And now we're paying them rent to live in our communities.
See, separatism is their game. And if you look at separatism, they've been doing that since slavery. Just separate the family. When the welfare came out, and the women got on welfare, where the father can't live with the mother. And so that separatism game, I think when that segregation came, that's when everything blew up. You know what I mean? We should have stayed together. We had black businesses. We thrived. But since we integrated, integration just took us. It just fouled up everything, you know?
Everything. Oh my God, I finally found someone that think like me, because I said I don't think integration helped us. I think integration like really took us down, because now we don't have those black schools anymore where our children are taught their proper history and taught skills that's going to take them to a next level in life. We don't have nothing. We don't have black businesses. Look, what did you say? We got Hindu and Arabs on the corners at liquor stores selling to us. That used to be our stores. We used to sell to our community. We're no longer doing that, you know? And so... I just feel like that whole integration thing was something else. And I just feel like I don't know if I'm wrong for feeling like maybe we should experience segregation again, and maybe we can build our communities back up, because now there are responsibilities. I feel that way. Maybe I'm wrong, you know?
No, you're not, because how are you? They targeted it. We spend more money than any other culture. So you need to look at this other documentary on Netflix called The Great Hack. And what they do is they study us. You know, we go to their nail shops, we go, but they don't put money back in our community. They take that money out of our community and put it in theirs. Money does not stay in our community but 45 minutes, and it's gone. It's gone.
Wow.
It can stay in the Jewish community for days. It can stay in other communities, the Koreans, the Chinese community. It stays in their community. Our money does not stay in our community. It does not stay in our community. Even purchasing beauty products, they selling us our beauty product. And I just, it's just, and the
isn't
way they treat the sisters, that's crazy.
Yeah,
it's
that
crazy.
We're going to them and getting and asking them about products for our hair, though.
Right.
It really kills me, though.
Right.
Yes,
right.
And I'm with you. You know, we do.
Mm-hmm.
We somehow we have to take back over our communities. I just really believe that we got to find a way to take back over our communities, and we need to recognize that we're responsible.
Mm-hmm.
For our communities. We're responsible for the destiny of our communities, where our communities are going to go and how they can become
mm-hmm.
profitable. We are in control.
Right.
And we also need to stop. Listen to this. I'm back at City College taking some classes. And in one of my business classes, one of the professors was speaking about Walmart and how Walmart
mm-hmm.
was paying cheap labor, and how Walmart got called out and had a whole bunch of lawsuits about paying cheap labor, basically, and child labor and stuff. And so in Boston, you can't put a Walmart there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because, you know, and that's how we need to be in our communities. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if you
mm-hmm.
can't respect us as a whole, if you can't put that money back into our communities, then you can't set your store up here.
Right. But we also need to start demanding our politicians. Okay, Mr. Mayor, what you gonna do for us? You know what I mean? Hold them accountable. And if he can't do nothing for us, then why are we voting for him? You know, if our governor cannot give, in some cities, the black community looks like a bomb dropped in it, you know.
Yes.
But
yes.
If you go over the bridge or go down 5 miles down, they are investing in their community, but they are not investing in our community. So we need to take this voting thing and asking them, if this is what you can give us, then we got you. But if not, oh, no, I'm not voting for you. And I mean, some of these mayors and some of these city councils, no, they should not be in office. They are not doing, if anything, they robbing us. Our own people are robbing. We robbing ourselves. We robbing ourselves.
Yeah, you know, you got a valid point about the voting, and I really think that that should be one of the topics that we speak about being black in America, because I do believe a lot of people have lost hope in the voting system, you know, with so much stuff going on with the elections and everything, and the crooked count. A lot of people lost their hope, and I think we need to rebuild that hope, but we need to make sure that our votes are making a difference, you know, as we encourage the people to go out and vote. Make sure that those votes are being calculated. Make sure that those votes are going to the right place, you know. When it came to voting, I was watching something on television where it was stating that in one state, they want to make it to where you would have to go to DMV and get a special license to vote. And with this special license, that's how you, with the license that they give you, have your picture and everything. But the counties that want to do this are counties that are impoverished counties. So they have a lot of low income there in their counties, but they want them to travel 2 and 3 hours to the only DMV location. education that offers them that that actual license. Mm-hmm. So what it's doing is hindering them from voting, because if they're living, most of them living in impoverished neighborhoods, don't have the transportation to go drive two or three hours away to get a car to vote. So what they do, they give up on a voting system.
Mm-hmm. And also the criminal background. If you got a felony, you can't vote. So I mean, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing, and we have to find a way and come together. And we just need to come together, you know, and stop this oppression. You know what I mean? It's getting bad. You know what I mean? It's getting bad.
Yes, it is.
So I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you got other people that want to call in.
No. The show is getting ready to end right now. I was just going to tell you that I'm going to have to wrap it up. But I really do appreciate all the insight that you gave. I mean, you gave a lot of valid information, a lot of things that we can take with us and try to work through and try to make a difference. So I really do appreciate that.
Okay.
All right, Ms. Cola, and I will hope to talk to you next week on our next show.
Yes, you will.
You have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Oh, my gosh, ladies. That right there was a very, very intelligent lady. I love her drive. I love her motivation, and I love her intelligence. And she made a lot of valid points. Voting is something that we need to come together to do as a community, but we have to demand certain things when we're out there voting. So that I did understand. And when she said that we have to learn economics, that is so true. We must learn economics, ladies and gentlemen, and we must teach economics to our children so that way we can start rebuilding our communities, and we have the funds and the economic wealth and power to do that. This has been an excellent show. It's been excellent. That's all I can say. I really love the information that was given today. I do want to thank our previous caller that called in. Cola, once again, I love all of you guys. I thank you for tuning in to A Woman's Perfect World. As you guys know, Thursdays are Black in America. So I thank you guys for tuning in. I thank you guys for joining the conversation. I love you guys all. And like I do always, I will drop a couple of links of some videos that you guys can possibly watch on your own. And I will also leave the documentaries that Cola had told us about, which is 7 a.m., a documentary that has Dr. Umar in. I love Dr. Umar. And another documentary called The Gray Hat, which is on Netflix. I'll drop all of that information in the comment section on the Facebook Live and also on A Woman's Perfect World. I thank you guys. I love you. And I will see you guys on Saturday when we discuss finances in a Black economy.
Yeah. Hey, man, where my real niggas at in this motherfucker, man? You feel me? Do the real nigga walk through, fuck me, hey! I be feeling like the man when I walk through. I ain't saying what you saying when I walk through. I got all these hoes staring when I walk through. I done made a few bands on the walk through.
Watch me,
hey, why me walk through? I done met a few bands on the road too. People don't know, now I don't talk to. Me and Problem in the big hill, boss too. Sitting at the round table making balls move. I done walked through with Gucci on my feet. Who got more money, you or me? I'ma walk through usually with my nigga Beverly. That I got a tool on me. I done slipped past security. What the fuck do you need glasses just to see? Me, when I'm coming full speed, got that V12 running. And I'ma jump the fence if I see 12 coming. Even if I were blind, I could still smell money. I can't trust no outside niggas, they could tell them. I'm the alphabet boy, cause I keep a L on me. I smoke good, throwing up my set in your hood. nigga. I be feeling like the man when I walk through. Can't stand what you saying when I walk through. I got all these hoes staring when I walk through. I done made a few bands on the walk through. Watch me, watch me. Hey, why me walk through? Watch me. Hey, why me walk through? Watch me, watch me. Hey, why me walk through? Had to make a few bands on the walk through.
Money over here, what you talk, clown? Play crazy while you high, how you knocked down? No frowns round here, bro, we all smiles. G7 just dropped, got us down.
Mom said the boy out when I walked through. Scarface for he died, did part two.
How your people tell promoters that I'm coming, park me in the front, leave the shit running, here's a 100, what up? Live your bitch like a coin, better call it, nigga. She got a thing for his big dick ballin', nigga. She bout to rock the boy Mike, tell it feedback. The realest nigga out my city, and I mean that.
Why I'm feeling like the man when I walk through. Can't stand what you saying when I walk through. I got all these hoes staring when I walk through. I done made a few bands on the walk through.
Hey, why me walk through?
Hey, why me walk through?